Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change. So I'm joined today by Christoph Bertscher. Hi, Christoph.
Hello, Andrew. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks very much. So we're just having a quick catch up before the AI for Business Summit. As you know, I've been involved for 25 plus years since I did my MBA at Henley in business transformation, technology implementations. And really what we're going to talk about today is about how AI is going to drive these sort of transformations. So if you could start with a brief introduction to yourself, please.
Yes. Christoph Bertscher, my name. I have also an association to Henley, as you have. I've done my doctorate at Henley quite a while back, feels like decades ago, but been through that journey at Henley since when I was doing the DBA there, and even afterwards, I was always kind of working full time in different roles, and the different roles kind of spanned anything kind of from a governance perspective, but very often and mainly focused on delivering change in very small organizations, kind of 20, 25 people, to very large organization of 250,000 people. So I've been kind of delivering change in different contexts and different industries, and including especially lately kind of technology and including kind of AI deployments in organizations.
Great. So the theme that we're covering on the AI for Business Summit on the 28th of September is really about how business models and industries are going to be transformed, and that with these sort of changes. So what's your perspective on the business sort of transformations that we could see now with AI coming?
The AI, when I look at it, of how long it is available, it's available for a long, long time. I just kind of did some research kind of on my PhD, and I found kind of first articles about machine learning 30 years ago. So it's not a new technology in itself. What has changed, and that is probably a difference to some of the later kind of technologies we have seen or other kind of trends in technology we have seen, is it is available now, it's accessible. And it's not only accessible, I think it also has different elements compared to other trends like blockchain. And I'm probably making myself very unpopular now by saying that blockchain is one of those technologies where the technology is there, but it didn't have a problem to solve. So people searched of how can I deploy the technology? And that's why blockchain got to a level of deployment and use and has very good use cases in that. But I don't think it kind of will be at huge kind of scale like AI will be. AI is now at the stage where the technologies are mature, they are growing, there's more interest in it. And I think the big difference is it is a technology that can now deliver value in our organizations for the people that deploy them and the organizations themselves. And I think that's a big differentiator kind of to lots of other technologies where value creation is now possible and it's easier possible than it was for others. And there's a demand. It's not a push of technology, it's a pull by the value of the organization.
And what sorts of examples are you going to, do you think we should be looking out for where there's going to be business model transformation?
Yeah, kind of the very different ones. We could take one that's close to the heart of Henley in general, for example, consulting. In the consulting industry, as an overall industry of helping other organizations to do better, there are new models of services that kind of they will be able to provide now. Listening to some of the research organization in the business world, they are very clearly saying organization will either develop their own AI or will use kind of platforms that provide AI services. In either example, consulting organizations will have a business model kind of offering or kind of an offering in general that will help organizations to either kind of create value from their own kind of AI platforms, or more importantly, I think being able to deploy standard kind of AI models and make them useful for their organization. So I think when I look at business model, for me, business model kind of, as we kind of stated in our book, it's about developing and kind of offering for the stakeholder, and that is important. It's not just the customer, that creates value for the stakeholder and creates an income stream or revenue stream kind of for the offering entity. So therefore, anything that kind of changes products or services and creates kind of value for me is a business model change. And some of them are really big, kind of completely new services, like kind of AI deployments based on consulting kind of services. Some others might be more kind of tweaks where an existing value proposition might be enhanced by artificial intelligence. And an example of that is customer service. Nowadays, kind of, we quite often don't talk to kind of contact center agents anymore. We talk to an AI or even kind of otherwise kind of in different forms interact with that. So for me, there's new services and new kind of elements of propositions coming our way, and some of them are just adapted. Equally, AI does have an impact on business model, is very clear.
And I think the two examples you've raised there around the sort of consulting side at the AI Summit, we've got Simon Portman from Marks and Clark, which is IP and lawyer. So I think that's a similar sort of issue in that to the consulting space. I know as running startups, you know, the experts you've now got to have to do a trademark in various countries when the rules in the countries are very well documented. So why do I need a lawyer in Europe, the United States, China, to be able to know which trademark I've sort of got to be in? And that's one example. And I think in your other example there, the retail, I think that we've got Shop AI and we've got Society, which are two in this retail space. So one, Yasmin, for example, will be talking about how customers can search, for example, in ladies' fashion for a summer cocktail dress rather than something off the shoulders in yellow color and whatever. So it can be a lot more interactive. And I think it's really how we bring these things together, the physical and the non-physical, and AI can be so powerful and a new way of interacting in that with customers.
Absolutely. And I think that there is a commonality and a difference in there, kind of, to general technology. And for me, kind of, I had the same with digital. Kind of, people say that's kind of a new thing, and it clearly isn't, for in my view at least. For me, digital is nothing else than IT done well. Again, fairly controversial, but in my view, it's a digital technology that's deployed to create value. AI kind of is the same. Kind of, it gets deployed in organizations, but again, as you say, I think what is a big difference now, kind of the interaction with that technology is something that is more natural kind of to people, because it can be based on language, for example, and it is more conversational, especially kind of the early elements that we have seen with ChatGPT, kind of that can become a conversation. And even to the level now where some of the generative AI tools have their own way of kind of creating the context of a discussion, and either kind of loosening the context or the tightening that to get the right answer. So it's definitely one where the interaction with the technology is one that is a lot more accessible in its form, but it's also a lot more accessible, I think, in its costs, because ChatGPT, for example, again being freely available, is helping to kind of distribute that technology to many. And also, I think there are other kind of supporting trends, like kind of low code platforms or no code platforms, where nowadays you don't need to be a Python or an R developer to deploy an AI tool. I can go on YouTube, get a video of how do I kind of connect ChatGPT into Excel, and even the non-technical person can do that within 10 minutes. It's not something where that become there's a barrier of technology expertise. Thing is, again, in my view, that gets you a level of use kind of for AI. But I think the real kind of winners in the market will be those that can exploit AI to a higher degree. And that kind of then, we cover that probably later on, that then covers also not only kind of business model changes. I think what people quite often forget is that requires operating model changes to support that business model. And again, we're saying that kind of in our book, kind of strategy, business model, and operating model have to go in tandem. And by implementing a new product or service as part of your business model change, you have to look and make sure that your operating model is always aligned to that. And let me give you a very early example when I deployed machine learning in 2013, 13, long time ago, 10 years ago, in real life with customer use. I was at the time the chief digital officer at Yodel, the parcel delivery company. And we had quite a kind of detailed interactions with IBM at the time. IBM kind of brought out the initial Watson services, and independent of technology, it could have been any other company. But we then tried to engage in that machine learning model and how we could use that to replace some of our kind of more repetitive tasks on customer services. And we've been successful in doing that. But interestingly enough, the deployment success was only sustained when we figured out how to acquire and keep a new skill set which nobody had, which was how do you train machine learning models.
Right. Yes.
And nobody, you couldn't go out kind of on kind of a job search platform and say, kind of, I need a person that trains kind of ML models, because it didn't exist. So for us, kind of, we had to change the kind of how we train the people, how we retain them, how we hire new people to make sure that we can keep training those models to create a kind of further value. Lots of that is now taken away by the big platforms, but I think again, by really specialized use and implementation of the more general model of an LLM or even foundational models, is now getting to the stage where the companies that figured out the operating model change to make that adaptation of those models kind of successful and continuous, that will be the key, one of the key success factors for success.
Yeah, and no, I think this is going to be a key part of the summit. And I've just published a LinkedIn article where I draw the parallels to the dot-com era. So at the time that I was doing my MBA at Henley in the late 90s, then, Jeff Bezos and Amazon was launching the online retailer initially for books. Again, at the point, probably where the stage of the technology was similar to what you just described with AI. Yes, you could create a web page. Yes, you required a bit of technology, and yes, you have to get those individuals, but lots of companies didn't want to change their operating model. And as you probably read in Jeff Bezos's book, he talks about the fact that when Amazon initially went and employed a lot of people from Walmart, they didn't have the mindset or the operating model, which is what's made him so successful and made it one of the world's largest, sort of most profitable and valuable sort of type businesses now. So I'm seeing the parallels with this AI that we're now at the stage where we were at the late 90s, early 2000s. But I think your point as well about the no code type aspect. One of the presenters at the session we're doing on the 28th of September is Softools, who are a no-code Microsoft Azure platform provider, and they're now doing AI implementations. And one of the examples they're going to talk about is with one of their clients, Coca-Cola, using AI to be able to fill in gaps in data in their operation performance, and then using a factory manager, bottler operator in any one of the countries around the world can put in a query about, I've got a leak in one of my cartons. And that would find solutions that were done in other countries and also bring in data from outside with tools on how to do it. So it goes back to one of your first points about consulting. You now don't need a consulting expert in operational excellence for any line person to be able to change how they operate and do implementations. And I think it's the operating model is going to have to change, the business model is going to change for the IT provider, the bottling company, the machine installers, the repairers, and stuff like that. The value chain is going to change, and that's quite an important factor that people have to think about in these
Absolutely. And
implementations.
as you say, I think it's also changing across the whole value chain. So it's not only about using AI, for example, to coming up with a new way of doing it. It's also now at the stage where you can quite easily now use kind of AI for the implementation of that change that AI has designed. And kind of in utopic world, you can then even go as far as kind of make that completely predictive and prescriptive, in the sense of not only kind of figuring out a new way or better way, designing how you implement them and then implementing it automatically can be done end to end with kind of artificial intelligence now. The question is then, what role does the human play? And that is kind of one of the bigger challenges that next to kind of security, which we might cover in a second. But I think there's also the role of the human in AI is also a very different one. I look at it sometimes from my researcher perspective. There's even now kind of a lot of research out there where AI becomes kind of an agent, which means it has agency. It can create decisions that are based on goals, which is nothing else than we do. Kind of, we have kind of obviously slightly, we are kind of, AI is not sentient, but at the end, for simple problems, it can identify a problem, find a solution, make the decision which is the best one, and implement a solution in one go. Another big difference is the cognitive capacity that AI has in the sense of understanding a problem and running permutations is higher than we can. So that's why sometimes kind of the learning process for an AI and its improvement can accelerate way far beyond what we can even comprehend as human beings.
Yeah.
And therefore, it is, I think, the role of the person in the whole kind of AI field will become a very important one, either in the sense of impacted, but also in how it is impacting AI with sometimes not being very cleverly and uploading IP into an AI tool. Creates a risk for an organization, and that is purely based on a human, not an AI.
Yeah. And no, I think that those aspects around security and reputation and sort of things like that is going to be important in these sort of change areas. My perspective would be, though, that it's going to be the leaders who are doing this implementation and changing their operating model are going to be the ones who are going to hopefully help us with the security and stuff. As we've seen going back to the .com sort of type changes, it's the large companies, it's the Microsofts, the Amazons, the Googles are the ones that are helping to set those standards. And how do we make sure the right players are the ones setting those sort of standards and that? Because that, you know, the likes of the governments or other institutions to be able to try and monitor or control this, I think, is going to be a big challenge in that anyway. So
yeah, and when, again, I have a slightly different take on this, and it relates to my kind of my PhD, because that's in digital deviance, and research has clearly shown that the approach of what is called coercive governance, of saying, I put a policy in place of what you can do and what you can't do, and if you don't behave accordingly, kind of we punish you, that is not working, and that won't work for AI. So I think what we need to be understanding as organizations that implement AI, I think we need to find an approach where you have a framework of what are the things that you're allowed to do, not to do. Kind of that's still that control and policy element. I think there's an element of that always needed. But I think what is more needed is how can we help individuals in an organization to understand what risks they are implementing and kind of increasing or changing, and to then to make a better decision of how to deploy AI. I think for me, there's a combination of what the coercive governance and kind of what I call the enablement governance, they need to come together. And I think we need to help people to make better choices with AI, particularly with AI, because things are moving so fast, it is really difficult. And as you say, government and kind of overall regulation is not able to either catch up or keep up with what we're doing. And we're seeing that kind of in the regulatory approaches that UK or America or other kind of countries are taking. They're very different one than they have, and I think they start to recognize an approach of regulating kind of a certain technology or a certain approach is not successful because it moves on so fast. The only way to regulate it is by what's the right behavior of organization and individuals that we expect, and secondly, what are good and bad outcomes, so you can only kind of do the governance based on outcomes, probably less than an input.
Okay, no, that's great. Thanks so much for that, Christoph. Could you tell us a little bit about your book then?
Yeah, the book is kind of with another author kind of that is also on the panel kind of on the 28th kind of at the AI Summit at Henley, kind of with Sharman Mani, and there's another professor kind of Professor Peter Grewe, and it's about business design in a changing world, and it's a very short primer book that we've written, and what we're saying in there is that the three aspects of strategy, business model, and operating model at all kind of discussions need to come together, and they need to be aligned within each other, and they need to be aligned within each other across the three dimensions of the stakeholders, the value, and the capability. And when that kind of happens, then an organization will be successful. And as we said before, kind of you might change an AI proposition through AI, your value proposition and the services you offer to the customer. But what we're saying in the book is then you also have to make sure as an organization that your operating model is aligned to that. And that might need an element of governance change in your operating model, or it might need an additional new capability that you want to implement or need to implement. And it might also kind of need elements around kind of your stakeholder management in more generic terms that you need to adapt. And I think that's another key element we kind of want to bring out kind of as part of our book, which is very often it's about shareholders or customers as the shareholders, but we think that's not good enough. And that's not good enough because many kind of offerings are so dependent on a variety of capabilities, and especially employees nowadays, that your employee value proposition becomes a very important part of your business model. Let me give an example, and we that example is also in the book. Kind of, we're talking about Dunnhumby. Dunnhumby is a data science company. They offer retail and other kind of organization data insights through data science and AI. And for them, the employee that is able to understand the data, use kind of AI and machine learning and other mechanisms to understand it and create insights, is their key capability or core competence that is absolutely important. So for them, looking after the value proposition for the employee is absolutely important. Train them, kind of treat them well, kind of pay the right salaries. All that, those aspects are very important. And so it's for us kind of very clear. It's not just about customer happiness or kind of value proposition or shareholder. It's also, for example, your employee, it might be the regulator, it might be your suppliers, depending on which industry and organization you're in.
Excellent, Christoph. Thanks very much. Looking forward to you participating in the AI for Business Summit and seeing you then. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Please do give a 5-star like and subscribe for future interviews.